And if you got a born again wife, you're really fortunate that you can pray together. And you see, I'm very fortunate that I've had a wife who wanted to live for God, and so I could travel more freely, trusting that she would be able to bring up the children. Most of the time she was with the children, not me. So if the children turned out right, the credit goes more to her than to me. But if your wife is not willing to do that, then it's your responsibility as a husband to make sure your children are brought up in a God-fearing way. And the first step to that is your personal relationship with your marriage partner, husband to wife and wife to husband. And whose responsibility is it first to take the initial step? For example, in every marriage there can be tensions because we are in the flesh. In the early days especially, when we are beginning married life, we still haven't understood everything. It's like a child learning to walk. I always say getting married is like a child learning to walk. It'll fall, get up. It takes time for it to be steady on its feet. So don't get discouraged if in the early years of married life there are little tensions. Make sure they get less and less as the years go by, and look forward to the day when they disappear completely, where you live in peace at home, because that's the goal. Jesus told his disciples, whenever you go to a new place to preach, this is in the Old Covenant, of course, Luke 10, when he was sending his disciples in Israel. The principle applies even today. He said in Luke chapter 10, sending the 70 disciples were sent out. He said, wherever you go, whatever house you enter, Luke 10 verse 5, first say, peace be to this house. Whenever I pray in a home, I always pray, Lord, let there be peace in this house. Because that is what the Lord said here. Peace be to this house. Very, very, very important. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So, I mean, the Lord, he's called the Prince of Peace. But isn't that a great verse? Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are those who have turned from their sins and received Christ. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. It's a difference between being a child and a son. Are you a peacemaker? Husbands and wives must be peacemakers. Then they are mature. Otherwise they are babies. You may be born again, you may have accepted Christ, but you're a baby. When are you going to grow up? Some people are babies for years. They don't seek to make peace. They know there's a tension in the home. Who's going to make peace? The son of God will make peace, or the daughter. The baby won't make peace. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are babies. They stand on their dignity and their pride. Say, why should I humble myself and ask forgiveness? It's not my fault. She took the fruit and gave it to me. Like Adam. I say the difference between Adam and Christ was this. Adam could not take the blame for his own sin. Christ could take the blame for the sins of others. Whom are you following? If you can take the blame at least for your own sin, you're a little better than Adam. If you can't even take the blame for your own sin, you're like Adam. But if you've graduated to the place where you can take the blame for the sins of others as well, and don't blame the other person, you've become like Jesus. He could take the blame for the sins of the whole world. And never, you know, hang there and say, hey fellas, I want you to know I'm not dying here for my own sins. I hope you know that I'm dying for the sins of the world. No, let them think what they like. Let them think I'm a criminal, like this thief here and like this thief here. So what? Do you think the opinion of these people matter to me? Father, you know me. That is following Jesus. That I don't have to justify myself. I'm willing to appear as though I was the criminal. I've often asked this question. in married couples in India. When there's tension in a home, who should be the first person to take the first step to restore peace? The husband or the wife? Traditional Indian heathen culture says the wife, because I am the king in the home. The wife must humble herself and come. Some other matriarchal societies, and there are some like that, would say the husband must humble himself and come. In places like Mongolia, the wife is the head of the home, actually. The husband sort of meekly follows there. And I suppose in such cultures, she says, her husband must humble himself. But in a Christian culture, who should humble themselves first? Our example is God. Be imitators of God, the Bible says. There was a problem between God and man that separated God and man. Terrific tension. Who took the first step? God. Why? Because he was smaller, inferior? Because he was more spiritual. So that's the answer. In a tension between a husband and a wife, who should take the first step to restore that relationship? The one who is more spiritual. So since both of you think you're more spiritual, you should be just running into each other's arms. Isn't it?
Amen.
Doesn't the husband think he's more spiritual? Doesn't the wife think, no, I'm more spiritual? No, then you should be just running into each other's arms without a moment's delay. Why is it not like that? Nobody is spiritual. That's the reason. If God can find one spiritual person there, there'll be peace. There'll be one son of God there, or a daughter of God. I use the example of the hands. Fighting between husband and wife is like this. You can't make noise with only one hand, you know that. However much you try. Whichever hand, husband or wife. The other person has to cooperate a little bit to have a fight. Or to continue the tension. You put a glum face, I'll put a glum face. Okay, tension continues. You won't talk to me, I won't talk to you. But if one of those people is willing to die, there's peace. It's like the illustration I like to use of a man who's had a neighbor, a couple, every morning at 6 o'clock they start fighting with each other. It was almost like the alarm clock. 6 o'clock, husband and wife would be yelling, fighting with each other. You wake up, oh, it's 6 o'clock, okay. They started the fight every single day. And lo and behold, one day, 6:15, 6:30, no sound, what happened? And he goes next door and finds that one of them, it doesn't matter who, died. No wonder there is no fight today. That's what I'm saying. If one of you is willing to die to yourself, there will be no fight. There will be no noise. There will be peace. And if both are willing to die to themselves, then they have what's called fellowship. Otherwise, at least peace. And both are unwilling to die, clash. If one is willing to die, peace. If both are willing to die, fellowship. So we must progress from clash to peace to fellowship. Very important. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And for that we must learn to value one another. That's very important.